is the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 17th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. The apostles said to the Lord Jesus, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here at once and take your place at the table'? Would you not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me, put on your apron, and serve me while I eat and drink? Later, you may eat and drink.' Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are worthless slaves, and we have done only what we ought to have done.'" This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. The apostles said to the Lord Jesus, "Increase our faith." And the Lord replied, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you." What a strange thing for Jesus to say. What would be the point of saying to a mulberry tree, "Be uprooted and planted in the sea"? What possible good would that do for anyone? It is such a strange thing to do with faith. And I wonder if that is the point. Perhaps Jesus is warning us about what we choose to do with our faith. This request from the apostles, "Increase our faith," is in response to this teaching. Jesus said to his disciples, "Occasions for sin are bound to come, but woe to anyone through whom they come. It would be better for you if a millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea than for you to cause one of these little ones to sin. Be on your guard. If a sibling sins, you must rebuke the offender. And if there is repentance, you must forgive. And if the same person sins against you 7 times a day and turns back to you 7 times and says, 'I repent,' you must forgive." Are the apostles asking Jesus to increase their faith for the sake of others or for their own sake? Is this plea motivated because they want the faith to be able to forgive, as Jesus calls them to? Or is it perhaps motivated because they want to save their own skins? They are afraid that they don't have enough faith to save themselves from a fate worse than having a millstone hung around their necks and being thrown into the sea. Do they seek faith to serve God or to serve themselves? I think this latter motivation is far more likely. The apostles want Jesus to increase their faith so they can save themselves. Their motivation is self-serving. This makes sense of the next thing that Jesus says in our gospel lesson, where Jesus teaches obedience to one's master. Now, these are really difficult verses for us because of the metaphor of slavery that Jesus uses. The meaning of the verses is clear. We ought to have obedience to God. We do not serve ourselves. We serve God. Our faith is not for self-service or for self-saving. Our faith is to serve the one who has already saved, God. This tendency towards self-serving and self-saving is why I think Jesus warns us against the apostles' plea, increase our faith. If Jesus were to increase our faith, what would we do with that faith? What would that faith look like? Jesus warns against self-serving and self-saving faith. He warns against using our faith for foolish and pointless things like telling a mulberry tree to be uprooted and planted in the sea. In Habakkuk, God warns us against far deadlier uses of faith. In Habakkuk, the prophet complains to God about the presence of evil. Habakkuk sees all the evil that the Babylonian Empire brings through violence and destruction. So Habakkuk demands that God deliver judgment on the Babylonians. But God warns, be careful what you wish for, Habakkuk. Be careful what you use your faith for. God says that God is in fact sending the Babylonians for the very purpose of judgment. You want justice and judgment, Habakkuk? Well, here you go. The Babylonians will deliver. Dread and fearsome are they. Their justice and dignity proceed from themselves, the book of Habakkuk says. This prophetic book claims that God sends the Babylonians because they are experts at the very kind of justice and judgment that Habakkuk and his people demand. Just that Habakkuk and his people did not realize that the judgment would be against themselves. When we wish for judgment, we ought to be careful what we wish for. God warns. Do we use our faith to wish for judgment against others? Is our faith, in fact, in a destructive and violent judgment? Now, having heard God's reply of be careful what you wish for, Habakkuk pleads to God again. And this time, God replies with a vision of hope that will surely come. And God encourages the righteous to live by faith. Those who are in right relationship with God will live by their faithfulness, by their faith in God. And then God moves quickly into warning again in Habakkuk. Moreover, God says, wealth is treacherous. The arrogant do not endure. They open their throats wide as Sheol. Like death, they never have enough. God warns against those who heap up what is not their own. God warns against those who build their houses on high, cutting off many peoples. God warns against those who build a town by bloodshed and found a city on iniquity. God warns against those who pour out wrath on others. And God warns against those who make and worship idols. What use is an idol, God asks. Once its maker has shaped it, a cast image, teacher of lies. For its maker trusts in what has been made, though the product is only an idol that cannot speak. Alas for you who say to the wood, wake up, to silent stone, rouse yourself. Can it teach? See, it is gold and silver plated, and there is no breath in it at all. God warns against the things that people often put their faith in instead of God. In wealth, in accumulation of more, whatever that more might be, in prestige, in violence, in iniquity, in wrath, and in idols. When we put our faith in these things, the results are foolishness, the stumbling of others, and even death. For these foolish things do not actually gain us life. There is no breath in them at all. For these things come at the expense of others. For these things too often lead to the death of creation and the most vulnerable. But we put our faith in these things because we think they can save us, because they serve us. If Jesus were to increase our faith, what would we use that faith for? Something as foolish and pointless, telling a mulberry tree to be uprooted and planted in the sea? To demand judgment on others? To serve ourselves at the expense of others? To try to save ourselves out of fear? If this is what we use our faith for, then our faith is not in God. It is in ourselves, in wealth and violence, in accumulating more, in prestige, in iniquity, in wrath, and in idols. My siblings, the point of Jesus' teaching is not to have more faith. The point is to have faith in God. Amen.